Okay. Let's open our Bibles together there and share the Word of God together. We're in 2 Peter. So prior to reading 2 Peter, we could have read through. In fact, we earlier did read through the book of Romans, not in the depth that Tom is taking his class, but we did cover a very significant part of Romans. I believe it's in chapter 7, where Paul is being very honest with those he is teaching and acknowledging things like this. The things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Remember that whole section? Have we not all read that and kind of gone, yeah? Don't we share in common that honesty that Paul was sharing? We have stuff that we don't want to do, that we find we do. We have things we should be doing that we're not doing. We have thoughts that we don't... Anybody have thoughts? Thoughts come into your head that you... I mean, do you ever go, what? Yeah. To your own head? Yeah. You know, like, where did that come from? Yeah. Or sometimes you go, I know where that came from. And you rebuke it. I mean, we've got a lot... I mean, living this Christian life... How do I say this? Living the Christian life at times seems a bit beyond us. Right. Huh? Right. And so what I think happens to us is if we're not careful, we get somewhat apathetic to righteousness. Or we understand that we're not perfect and we just can't be perfect. I tried it. And then I had one of those thoughts. I wanted to be just the most terrific person, and then you said something to me and I got mad. Is this, I mean, come on. And so preachers on Sunday, and they preach righteousness, and they preach holiness, and they preach Jesus Christ, and they tell you, and Jesus says, if you love me, obey me, and oh my goodness, all of that's good. And yet we go out in our shoe leather and we run into them out there, and then we run into them in here, and then... And so I think what happens in a lot of Christians is we just kind of adopt this philosophy, well, maybe later. Maybe later I'll get it figured out. And we form a thing, if we're not careful, with the microphone... We form a thing called Christianity. And we get a religion going. And we get a bunch of rules in place. And we get structure formed. You know where I'm going? Yeah. We create organization. And we start telling each other how to live. Because quite frankly, dear ones, that's much easier. It's much easier for me to tell you how to live than for me to live the way I'm telling you how to live. And so when I talk about religion in somewhat a negative terms, please don't ever think I'm stepping on your toes. Not, at least, I'm not trying to. Let God do it. Well, what I'm trying to acknowledge is, yes, I want to live like Jesus. I want to be more like Him. So I'm caught in this, I mean, it's a conundrum, right? It's kind of a, geez, how do... Well, here comes 2 Peter. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. We could take a whole long time and talk about justice and fairness, but suffice to say that God is both just and fair. Amen? If a law is broken, if a sin is committed, if there's a crime, then there needs to be justice. Well, wait a minute. How does that play out in my life when I'm sinning, if you will, violating one of the commandments of God on some frequency? Where is the justice of God here? Where is the fairness of God here with Skip Heine if Skip Heine is on occasion violating the commandments? Praise God. Now we have something, don't we? Here is where the justice and fairness of God was meted out.
Amen.
This is our gospel message.
Yes.
I mean, I think every evangelist that's ever preached any Christian message anywhere has to get to the cross, does he not?
Yes.
Because that's where the work was done. So Paul, who's trying to wrestle through, I don't do what I do, I shouldn't do what I think about it. And then he says, who will set me free from this? He says, praise God. Jesus Christ sets me free from that.
Amen.
Okay. Then Peter, acknowledging that God, to a group of people, he's writing to his friends, he says, God is just. God is fair. We don't get what we deserve because Jesus got what we deserved. Hallelujah.
Right.
All right. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Oh, grace and peace, grace and peace. Do you need any peace in your life?
Oh, yeah.
This season is an incredible season to wreck peace. And yet it's supposed to be the season where people light lights and candles and decorate their homes and things smell good, and we're supposed to be friendly and loving. And yet Christmas seems to destroy so much. Because the enemy is at work. The enemy doesn't want us remembering Jesus' birth and what he's done for us his whole life and all that. Do any of us need more grace in our life?
Yes.
Wow. We think of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we even have any comprehension what grace looks like in others? Or I should say for others. Are you ever at odds with somebody?
Yeah, come on.
Are you ever at odds with somebody?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do about it? Do you use your ability to deck them? I missed a comment. What did he say?
Punch them.
You said what, Tom?
Save them.
Save them.
Deck them.
Deck them.
Punch them out.
Punch them out.
And then raise your hands and say, praise the Lord.
And yet, what would it look like? What would it actually look like in our lives if we actually extended grace instead of law? What would the shoe leather in America be if we could learn grace instead of law? I'll give you a good example. Carol has a little business called Carol's Cottages. Carol's Cottage. The Borisons also have beach houses they rent. So we are hospitality people, and we rent our homes to others. And we rent the homes to others so that we get enough money, hopefully, to pay the taxes, insurance, and the and on some occasion go to the beach, right? So we have these beaches. And people come into your... Do people come into your homes and move the furniture all around? Do they come into your homes and unplug everything? They do? Wow. They come into our homes, they move all the furniture around, they unplug everything. I mean, we have to go down, not only vacuum and make beds, I have to go in and re-plug everything, reset all the clocks. The reason I have to reset all the clocks is you all now have devices. You know these devices? And so you unplug everything that can be plugged, and you plug in your phones and your tablets and your iPad. You know, it's amazing. And I would like to sometime do a surprise visit on the beach house people.
You can buy docking stations.
Docking? Yeah, what does that look like?
Just little stations you put in the
house. I need to put them around the house, don't I? I need to be a better hospitality person.
Just invest a little more.
The point of the story, I hope you're identifying in your life with some of your stuff the way we have to identify with some of our stuff. And dear ones, it's just stuff. It's just stuff that I get to clean. What would happen if we learned grace instead of the law? The realty company, Beach Realty, that handles our... If you rent through them, they will give you like 3 typewritten pages of instructions on how to conduct yourself in a private beach house. And it's all good stuff. And you know where we always find those 3 pages? They're always in the trash. What I'm talking about is I'm trying to illustrate this with a very common, normal, everyday kind of living situation where the law is much more satisfying to hold somebody to the law. Because by golly, I've gotcha. And what would it look like if we extended more grace? What would it look like in a marriage if we extended more grace? What would it look like in parenting? You say, well, in parenting, if you gave more grace in parenting, you just have chaos. I don't know. I've lived long enough now to check out other people's things. I think a little chaos is not such a bad thing now and again. Peter is telling Christian people, those who are followers of Christ, you look to him for the 2 big things, peace and
grace.
Churches down the street name themselves grace. We're trying to trumpet to the world, because of Christ, grace. All of that is a setup for verse 3. In verse 3, I find it is it just makes me breathe a big sigh of relief. It's good to know who's in charge.
Yeah.
God is in charge, yes?
Yes.
By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Does it say something like that in your translation?
Yes.
Wow. So does God want us to live a godly life?
Yes.
He wants us to live righteous and holy.
Yes.
He wants us to extend grace and love and mercy. Yes. He wants us to be victorious Christian people.
Yes.
And we could develop that much more. All of the things God is wanting from us. And we find ourselves kind of failing on that at times. And so if we're not careful, we kind of just set God and our faith, religion, we kind of set it on a shelf and we go through our week until Sunday morning and then we get righteous and holy on Sunday morning. But the rest of the week, we just live the worldly life. And what Peter is trying to say here is God has enough power.
Yeah.
Now hear me, church. God has enough power to do absolutely anything He wants to do.
Amen.
True? So there is nothing that God wants to do that He can't do.
Amen.
Can He do it in you?
Yes.
Can God give you what you need to live a godly and righteous life? Can God give you something like this? Can God give you something you don't have towards another person called forgiveness?
Yeah.
Is it possible that you and I could learn to forgive?
Yeah. Yes.
What about patience?
Yes.
You're catching on, aren't you?
He's working on that.
He's working on the patience thing. And it took him 6 days to make everything. Maybe it'll take him the 8th day to make patience for us. I hope what you're going to read here is that His divine power is not limited.
Amen.
We call Him omnipotent.
Yeah.
All-powerful, which just is that theological term that it really says God can do anything. This is so cool. So my number 1 granddaughter, Courtney, is a sophomore at San Diego University. She wants to be an astrophysicist. Just say that. Astrophysicist. It's hard to do. In order to be an astrophysicist, you first have to study physics. So she's enrolled in physics, and I love to have her go to see movies like Contact. Did anybody see Contact?
Yep.
Or Interstellar. That's how I love to send her to these sci-fi movies, and then we like to talk about sci-fi movies.
The Core was good, too.
The Core?
Yeah.
All right. There's lots of good stuff out there that takes you into places that we can't even think, right? So in Interstellar, the current one, there's a black hole, and things get sucked into the black hole, and they get transported through the black hole, and then they come out on the other end, and they're still alive. And they do stuff, and then they go back through the black hole, and I mean, it's all... So Courtney is at the beach this weekend. She says, Grandpa... Can't happen. I said, what can't happen? She says, nothing can survive a black hole. I said, what do you mean? She says, the gravitational pull in a black hole is so immensely incredible that as you begin to approach the black hole, it would rip you. Since you would be here 1 minute and here the next, it would just rip you to shreds. There would be nothing left. You would be vaporized just approaching the black hole. And so she goes on with this wonderful teaching about the black hole. And I simply said, Courtney, how do you know? And, whoa. The fact that we're talking about something we know absolutely nothing about. God is able to do anything he wants to do. And we can have fun thinking about what it might be to transport through time. And can you go, you know, they say the fastest anything can go is the speed of light.
Yeah.
Right?
Who said?
The speed of light.
Yep.
Plus one.
Yep.
I would like to say plus one. You know, there's always that. We try to create in our own mind all wisdom. That we know everything. We understand how things work. I love what scientists do. They're standing on a platform and then there's a new discovery. And they jump to the new discovery platform. And you say, well, what about all the stuff you used to believe? Oh, well, we've proved that wrong. But now we're standing on this one. It's a what?
It's
a theory. We've got us a new theory. What is your theory of Jesus Christ? Your theology of God is what? I hope it is that he can do anything he wants to do. And when some situation looks absolutely impossible to you,
he can do it.
He can do it.
Yeah.
Now let's deal with the other problem you have. I know you have this problem because I have the problem. He didn't do what I thought he should do. He didn't do what I just described to him the power to do. Oh God, you who are able to do everything, do what I ask.
Right.
Right?
Right?
And so I know you can heal my wife. I know you can save my son. I know you can do everything.
Right.
Is my faith then only in a God who performs for me?
No, it can't be.
And if I get so dejected and so hurt and so sad and so mad at God because things don't turn out the way I want, well, really, who's being God in that picture?
Right. Come on.
I'm trying.
Come on.
So I love what Peter is trying to say, that by God's divine power and his power, he's given us what we need to live a godly life. There is nothing, there is no force, there is no power, there is no temptation taken in you but such as is common to man. And the Lord will, right in the midst of the temptation, give you a way of escape that you can endure whatever you have to endure. True? We have received all of this by coming to know him. Isn't that great? We often say to somebody, you know, or talk about, do you know Jesus? Or does so-and-so know the Lord? You know that little phrase? What are we really asking when we say that? You know, we're saying, are they a member of the faith? Are they one of us? That's kind of what we're asking, right? What we should, do they know the Lord? How well do you know? You know, I'm discovering every year that I need to know him better.
Yeah, amen.
I'm discovering every year that I know the world really too well.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is know Jesus better.
Amen.
And then we have what Amanda calls a come to Jesus meeting. I love that phrase. Have a come to Jesus meeting. And what does that usually mean? Usually means he's going to explain something to me. He's going to show me how he thinks should be working, and certainly how it is in his kingdom. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption, which is caused by human desires. Okay, so now I'm starting to see a mechanism at work here. Now I'm starting to see a tool. I'm starting to see a way to live. If I believe in God and can call upon his name, and I can understand that he cares this much for me, what else can I do to try and have victory over the temptations of the world? What does it say I can do?
Hold on to the promises.
Yeah, how about that old song? I don't think we can sing it so quickly. Standing on the promises. How does it go? Standing on the promises of God. Bah, bah. Is that how it goes? What does that mean to stand on the... Well, you sing a little song. Standing on the promises. What does that mean?
Holding fast.
Huh?
Holding fast.
Hold fast.
You see them as something solid to hold on to.
This is what God says. Well, there's that old phrase. God said it.
I believe it.
That settles it.
That settles it.
I like the other one. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. So, Lord, I'm standing on your promises to me. Have you ever spent any time asking the Lord what his promises are to you? That is your homework assignment. I would just suggest to all of us that it would be a good thing to do, not just the rest of today, but maybe through this week, to just ask him in prayer, say, Lord, what are your promises to me? What have you actually said to me by way of promise? And how are the things that he's promised us lining up with our behavior? He doesn't call us to things without equipping us. And when he calls us to things and he equips us for a certain kind of a mission or ministry, this is his birthing a promise in us. It's more than the promise of just, I love you. The whole book of James is about having not only a faith, but a work, right? So because of this faith you have, get busy in the kingdom. The promises of God, does he promise that he loves you?
Yes, he does.
Has he promised that he will never, ever leave you? Okay, so if you're feeling down one of these days, if you're feeling all alone, if you're feeling forsaken, if you're feeling like nobody likes you, you know what's the kid saying? Everybody hates me, nobody loves me, I think I'll go eat worms.
Yeah.
You ever get that way?
Yeah.
That'd be a good time to stand on the promise of God.
Yeah, amen. Come on.
I love you. I made you. I have purpose in life for you. I will never leave you. Oh, but I've wrecked it. I've blown it again. I've destroyed everything. I've screwed up. I did. Oh, gosh.
Shut up.
Yeah. Shut up. It seems like the world is winning and I'm losing.
Shut up.
That'll go with praise the Lord and shut up. So, we can close by speed reading through Peter. He talks about false teachers. He's now going to talk about end times. I love it when people start talking about end times or end time things or looking at the sky or trying to understand the seasons, rediscovering the prophetic books. In fact, here's what happens in you. I know this happens in you because it happens in me. If you start thinking about something with a lot of interest, your whole life kind of starts molding around that thing you're thinking about. Right? So, like if you're throwing a birthday party, you get consumed with all of the things of throwing a birthday party. to the exclusion of a lot of other things, right? Because you're concentrating on a birthday party. Or whatever. You're going to a Ducks game. Go Ducks. Everything becomes about football. Everything comes... All right. Now, what would happen in us if we had the same kind of intentionality with our faith? That I'm really going to focus on my faith in God. Wow. Today I've got this plan and that plan. Carol has a day timer this thick that we live by, right? We have a lot of things going on in our lives. We are very busy with activities and events and grandchildren and children. And if we're not careful, life can just go, and we didn't even know what happened. Where is God in all of that? And what I'm trying to discover is that I am responsible for making God happen in all of that. Right? At least in me. Because He isn't distant. He didn't leave me. So whether it's a birthday party or a duck game or whatever it is you got to go through, we have the ability as Christian people to be in that thing at that time with God. Now, if we try and take Him someplace He doesn't want to go, then I think we have a problem. Huh? What do you think? I wish we knew the end of the story where He told the woman who had all these husbands, He said, go and sin no more. Remember that one? It would have been nice to know if He followed her. Just to see where she went. And how she handled this wonderful forgiveness that He'd given her. End times stuff. There are Christians who start reading books of prophecy and then they read what other people are writing about the books of prophecy that somebody else wrote. And pretty soon, you can just become so enamored with the prophetic writings. Right, Sally? That all you can see is the coming of the Lord in a taillight blinking. So Peter walks through that. And he says over and over and over, the day of the Lord. And he's talking about hell. He even talks about Tartarus, which is a very special location in the underworld where really wicked angels are sent. That's 2 Peter 2:4. He didn't spare the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell. The actual Greek word there is Tartarus. It's the only time it's mentioned in the whole New Testament. So it's kind of important by its uniqueness. We don't really understand what it is, but God knows what it is. Peter's dealing with these things, and then he comes to this, which is my closing text. Chapter 3, verse 14. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. Standing on the promises, saying, praise the Lord and shut up. We live in a dynamic world. There's a lot of stuff going on. I get it. So did God. He says, try to be found pure and blameless as you walk. Now, if you connect all these dots of what I'm trying to think this morning, that can only happen if I'm plugged into Him. If I disconnect from Him in order to go to the sporting event, then the sporting event will just be whatever it is. How can I go to the sporting event and stay plugged into God? Do you agree that I can do it?
Yes.
All right, so that's what I'm trying to say. It isn't that God wants us to live isolated lives in caves, never going anywhere or doing anything. He says, though you're in the world, be not of the world. But it doesn't mean that you quit being in the world.
Right?
Right? So we're going to go places, we're going to do things, we're going to bump into other sinners. And we get to stay connected to God. And we get to be ambassadors and missionaries of peace and grace. Wow. What a great God we have.
Yes.
What a mighty God we have.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for the homework assignment you've given us. We want to hear from you this week, O Lord. I ask that you speak to your children again, the precious promises you've delivered to them. Let us understand more who you are and what you've said to us. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And if I can remember next Sunday during our sharing time, if you want to raise your hands and tell others of the promises that you're standing on, I would consider that wonderfully appropriate. Okay? Standing on the promises? Well, which ones are they? Okay. You're dismissed.